Tonight, for just a few minutes, if you want to turn your Bibles over to Hebrews, a very familiar passage to you, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 11. The Apostle Paul wrote this passage, and this is commonly called the Hall of Faith. And it's a great chapter. If you haven't read it in a while, it will encourage you if you get the opportunity to read the whole chapter. Because it goes from one example of another of how God was able to do the miraculous in the lives of people who would put faith in Him. And tonight, if you would, let's start reading. I'm just going to start out with four of the verses, and we'll probably look at a few more. But Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that God, You are a mighty God. And Lord, You have already provided everything we need, from salvation to anything we're going to come against. Or Lord, any need that we're going to have arise, You already have the answer. You are not only a God of the past and the present, but even in the future. And God, You have all power. But Lord, it all centers around this one word of faith. And God, I pray that You start in me and give me a more intense, real faith in You than I've ever had before. That, Lord, I would not be afraid to ask the impossible from You. That, God, that You would build such a courage and, Lord, such a trust and confidence in You. Lord, that in this congregation that we would be bold to pray and have confidence to believe as we pray that it's already done. Lord, You are a mighty God, and Lord, we need not fear, but Lord, stand in faith and victory because of what You've already done. We thank You for it already, what You're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Webster defines the word faith as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, a complete trust. A complete trust. You know what? Inside me, I have trouble here. It is sometimes hard for me to put complete trust in something that I can't see. It's something that's kind of a common thing, I do believe. It's something we get so used to, and especially sometimes men, this is kind of their attribute, they're kind of problem fixers. And you're used to it from work or from home, that all the problems comes to you, a lot of problems. And some of you wives, maybe the ones has to solve the problems, but I get a lot of problems at work. I get problems, and I'm always thinking, as soon as I hear something going wrong, I'm thinking, okay, what can I do to fix that? How can I get past that and get on to something else? I'm always looking at me. But that is not the way that God has designed us as Christians to walk. He wants us to walk in faith and trusting in Him. I remember that one of the hardest lessons I ever had to learn in faith and confidence in something besides myself. It wasn't in God. That's the one we struggle with the most. But I had a little test at work. I may have alluded to this before. We had an exercise. We had a company we paid to train us, the management team, to kind of work closer together. And sometimes you get used to kind of doing things on your own. And they wanted us to do some team building exercises. If you've ever done them, it's the hardest thing you've done. You really got to trust the people you're with. Now, I'm a pretty good-sized guy, so one of the things they did that just absolutely just scared me to death was they teamed you up with different people, and they told you to get up with someone else. Well, the guy I picked, not knowing what we was getting ready to do, was about a third of my size. And the thing we were getting ready to do was they told us to cross our arms and they had the other person stand behind you where you couldn't see them and you couldn't feel them, and they told you to lock your knees, cross your arms, and fall straight back. Now, what was behind you was concrete, and if that person could not stop you from falling, you were going to hit concrete. And so me, knowing the odds, this guy was this, he was not Popeye. He did not eat any spinach. And I knew he could not hold me up. So I was terrified. I just could not hardly bring myself without bringing. I always wanted to bend my knees and catch myself because I knew he was going to let me down. I knew he was going to make a mistake and I was going to get killed right in front of everybody. I had a trust issue. You know what? How many times in our life have we been up against an obstacle in our life and we come up to it head on and we don't see how in the world God's going to provide for us in that need? We don't see how He's going to do it. We can't see the tunnel through and to see the plan that God has, and we are afraid and we walk in fear and we tremble and we don't have the confidence in God that we should. You see the reason faith is so important. By the way, this chapter, this first verse gives us a definition of faith. And it's the only that I can find, the only definition in Scripture that gives us a definition of what true faith is. You know, we live in a generation, we've heard it started back several years ago, a lot of people in politics is talking about faith. We're people of faith, and we wonder what they're talking about. There can be many definitions of faith, but what I'm talking about tonight is a confidence in God that is so real that we don't have to see the answer to trust that He's going to deliver us or that He is going to meet the need. We see that in that first verse. It gives us a definition of what faith is. Before He's going to come through and enlist all the things that God has done in people's lives through faith, He gives us a definition. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance there actually means confidence. The word evidence there means proof. And what it's saying is that true faith is when we can have such confidence and such trust in God that we have proof in our hearts. The moment that we ask Him to meet our needs, that we can reach out in faith and get a hold of something that we can hang on to, that does not require our eyes to see the answer, and our faith is not shaken. God is looking for people who will trust Him. It's so important to have faith. You know that the first thing you do as a Christian, you have to have a measure of faith. When you were sitting in that pew, and I thought back tonight of when I responded to the altar, and I know that I was sitting in that pew, and I know that the preaching goes forth. It's an amazing thing. It's the most incredible miracle in the entire world, the salvation of a soul. You're sitting in the pew and the word is coming forth from the preacher or wherever you heard it, and something hits that heart, that seed hits that heart, and something inside of you realizes that what you hear is true. There is something true, and all of a sudden, before you realize it, it causes you to realize that since it's true and that God truly loves me and that God has already paid the price for me, it shows me that I'm a sinner, and I realize that a loving God wants to wash me who I'm unworthy, and the next thing you know, tears are flowing down that face. You've heard it. That measure of faith has taken root, but there's something else that happens. Real faith causes action. We see that once that seed hits the heart, then all of a sudden we know we got to do something about it. For if you go back out that door and you don't do anything else but let the tears flow, you've missed out on what really we need to do. And that you will, any of you all that's been saved has had to take that walk of faith up to the altar or wherever you were. You've knelt before God and said, I've heard it, I need it, I believe it. And all of a sudden you feel that washing. You feel that transformation in your life. And something has happened so wonderful that God a few minutes ago was looking at you and He couldn't hardly look at you for the blackness of your heart. But now when He looks at you, He doesn't see you anymore, but He sees His precious Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing. And it starts with faith. Why else is faith important? Jesus Himself said that told His disciples that if you have the faith of a small mustard seed, a small speck, that you are able to say to that mountain, be plucked up from there and cast into the ocean, and it'll happen. It only takes a measure of faith to see miracles happen in our life, but it just takes a small amount. I'm reminded of the man who had the son that was the demoniac, and he and his son, from every time he tried to get help, or all the time his son was be cast into the fire, and he would try to save his son. He's having to watch him all the time, and then he would be cast into the water trying to drown. Over and over, this man was going through torment trying to save his son. He loved his son. He couldn't do it himself. He had nothing in himself to save him. And he comes to Jesus and he asks him, probably with tears in his eyes, "Lord, can you please help my son? I can't. No one can help my son. Please help my son." And then Jesus asked him, and I'm paraphrasing, "Do you believe I can? Do you believe I can do something for you?" Jesus knew he could. He's asking the man, "Do you believe?" And the man says, "I believe, Lord, but help mine unbelief. Lord, everything within me is reaching out with faith, but give me even some of your faith." God is looking for people in this hour that will reach out in faith and quit trying to look through their own eyes and quit trying to walk through our own way to get to God and to get the answer that we're looking for. We can't do it. It is going to take faith. And you know what? Faith is what it's going to take to see people healed. Faith is what it's going to take for those requests. When we, I was thinking as the request was going forth tonight, when we give requests, if we really take hold of faith, we're able to say, "I know this is huge, and I know that I've been praying for this need, but I already know that God heard the need, and God's already got the answer on the way. God's going to do it. I've got faith and confidence in God." Some of you see many things happen in your life. There is so many miracles that's happening. Several of you. You know what? There's a measure of faith there, because you, instead of trying to react and do things in yourself, you say, "God, I can't do it. It's you. I got to trust you." And that's when God can come on the scene. God is looking in this hour. It is a requirement for our life to see anything happen. There's going to have to be faith rise up in our heart. And when it does, we're going to see action start to happen. You know what? Faith is hard. There was a young girl that was on the second floor, on the second floor bedroom. And she woke up smelling smoke. And she was afraid, and she didn't know where her dad was or her mom. And she went to the door, and she opened the door, and there was a sheet of fire right there. The house was totally engulfed. There was no way for her to escape. It was in the middle of the night. All she could do is go to the window. She's in the second story. She opens the window. It's pitch black outside. She doesn't know what to do. And she's sitting there thinking, "Lord, what am I going to do?" And all of a sudden, out of the darkness, she hears a voice. She knows. It's Dad. And he says, "Honey, jump." She says, "Dad, I know. I can hear you, Dad. But, Dad, I can't see you. I'm afraid." He said, "Honey, it's okay, because I can see you. Just jump." And you know what? That was the first thing. She heard the voice. She recognized the voice as someone she could trust. She then had to have confidence that when she would jump, that he had the strength to take care of her and to catch her. But then it took even another measure, a greater measure of faith, to take that step and jump out into the darkness. You know what? God is sitting there in our lives day in and day out and saying, "Why do you keep going through these things? I'm here. You don't have to see me. You don't have to know how I'm going to do these things. You just need to know I'm here. My arms are outstretched. I'm ready to meet this need. If you'll just jump out in faith, if you'll just trust in me, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to do mighty things for you." But we keep saying, "But God, I'm afraid. God, I don't see anything happening. I'm praying for these loved ones and I'm not seeing anything happen." Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Say, "God, give me, as that man said, give me a measure of faith. Give me the faith that it takes to touch you so that you will show me that you have already met." You know what? God has already met needs. God, Scripture says when we come before Him for healing, it says that He has already paid the price. Isaiah says His stripes has already paid the price for healing. All we have to do is come and stand in faith and believe in a God who has already paid the price. Reach out and touch Him. And it says, "And thou shalt be healed." We can touch God. Whatever your need is, God is already has the answer. Verse 1, why do we need faith? It's a requirement. Why is it we have to have it to be saved? Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have to have a measure of faith. Why else do we have to have faith? Verse 6 tells us that without it, it is impossible to please God. Do you understand? There's no other way. You can have all these other attributes in your life, but you don't trust God. How does it make God feel when we come before Him and we're shirking and we're afraid and we're asking Him for something, and the whole time He looks in our heart and there's not an ounce of belief that He can do anything? God is mighty and awesome. And we're going to see how great He is in just a few minutes. But God is sitting there. If we could see the greatness of God when we come before Him, we ought to have total confidence. When we see how big He is and we see how little we are and how little these needs are, and God is this massive, awesome God who has all power that is just sitting there in reserve for people to ask Him for something, and we would be able to come before Him and say, "It is easy for You, God. This is so easy for You, God. I know the answer is coming, because look how great You are." God, if we come before God with the opposite of faith is disbelief, and it is a slap in God's face when we come before Him and we say, "God, I don't know that You can even do anything about this." God says, "I have all power, but You have to trust Me." Jesus Himself was unable to do things for people who did not believe. Mark chapter 6, 4 through 6 says, "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." And he marveled not at how much faith they had, but their unbelief. I believe the Lord in this last generation is walking around and He's marveling when He sees my heart and He says, "Why can't You believe Me for more? Have I ever let You down one time? Have I not came through for You 1,000 times over? Have I ever went to sleep when You needed Me? Have I ever not heard Your cry when You called out? Have I ever not had the power to do what You needed Me to do?" And over and over, resoundingly, I have to say, "No, Lord, You've come through every single time." Then why the unbelief? Oh, let me tell you something. In this generation, we need people who will believe God to do the mighty and the miraculous. You know what happened in the book of Acts that caused the world to be turned upside down is that people would believe God to do anything. When they would pray, when the man was sick or the man that had the issue or he was crippled, then Peter could reach down and get a hold of his hand and with faith, not in himself but in Jesus Christ, say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." He didn't get any word that said, "Do these exact 4 steps and this is going to happen," but he knew that he served a Savior that he had walked with for 3 years, and over, all he had to do is reach out and touch people and they would be healed. And now he has gone and given him the Holy Spirit to be his representative, and he's given us the same exact thing. And all we have to do is reach out in faith and trust God and see what he will do. But we want God to give us a plan of exactly what he's going to do. And that's why we're living in a generation when people's looking for someone who has the power of God in their life. If we want to see God do mighty things, we got to start by having faith. That verse 2 says that it's talking about the elders, the patriarchs of our faith. For by talking about faith, had a measure of, for by it the elders obtain a good report. For by it the elders obtain a good report. A few verses down, it's talking about Noah, who heard the word of God, and because he heard the word of God, it transformed his life. It transformed his life. It says, let me find this verse really quickly for you. See here, I've lost my... verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, turned his life upside down. Every one of these people in this book that we see that is in this hall of faith, every one of them had never got to experience what we had. They never got to see that the Messiah had ever come. They knew he was supposed to come. They heard he was going to come. And all they didn't have all the testimonies that we have. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have all the things that we have, all the resources that we have to where 24 hours a day we can listen to God's faithfulness and testimonies of God's healing and his power. They got one thing. They got a word from God. They heard God's voice one time say to them something. Noah heard God speak to him and say, there is judgment coming. If you want to save your family, you need to build a boat for something you've never seen before. It had not rained. You're going to build a boat. You're going to look like a laughingstock. You're going to look ridiculous. But if you want to believe what I've got to say, judgment's coming. And from that one word from God, it said that he walked in fear. When you look that word up, it says that he walked circumspectly. It means that he was so careful everything he did from that day forward. His whole goal in life was to fulfill what God had told him to do. Every day for 120 years, he was out sawing logs and he was putting a boat together and he was building this massive thing up on the side of a hill, and people all over the world was probably coming by just to see this massive structure that was being built for something that was going to float in water from rain that had never fallen, and he was probably laughed at on a daily basis. But it never deterred his walk with God. We let the first little thing that comes against us knock us down. And Noah was able to say, I don't care. I heard the voice of God. It may have been 120 years ago, but I know God enough. I've walked with him enough to know that he's going to fulfill what he said. And the verse said, goes on to say, and it was the salvation of his family, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And now we are giving him as an example to say, he did what he was asked. He listened to what I had to say. He did not shake in his faith because he heard my voice one time. What is our excuse? We have not only see his example, but thousands of other examples in the Word of God. And we see all the things that God has done for us now that the Savior has came. And now that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father, he's healed almost everyone, if not everyone in this building. He has provided for you. He's done miraculous things for you that we can't even begin to take the count of tonight. And yet we still can walk in unbelief. Is it important? I think it's one of the most important things that we will ever encounter. It's so important that we listen and we have confidence in him, because there is limitations in our life when we are not putting our confidence in him. Abraham was called. God spoke to Abraham and called him out to a place he had never known before. And he promised a man that was 90 years old, you're going to be the father of a nation that you can't even count. Your seed is going to be as the, can you count the sand? Can you count the stars? Your seed is going to be just like that. And he believed God. He came out from his family. He followed God. And it says that he kept looking for a city whose builder and founder and maker was God. And we see that he followed him. And God finally come through after 20 some years. And he gave him Isaac. And now Isaac is now grown into a teenage boy. And he's starting to see the hand of, oh, God's coming through. He started to provide what he said he was going to provide. And then God threw a test in his path that he said, I want you to give me that son. Well, Abraham was probably, wait a minute, God, you don't understand. You want me to trust you, and you've done exactly what you said you're going to do, and now you're going to take away the very thing you promised me. God, if you take that away, then everything you promised can't come to pass. But no, Abraham had such confidence in God that the scripture says that he never hesitated. He did exactly what God told him. He took him up on that mountain. He took that firewood. He put him on an altar. He tied him up. He had his hands held back with a knife in his hand, and he was on his way down to kill his son, because he says he knew that God could raise him up again. He trusted God, and God rewarded him over and over in his children and his children's children because of the faithfulness that he would put faith in God. And we can't trust him for some of the smallest little things that we have need of. The woman that had the sickness that went for 12 years, spent everything that she had. She was at the end of her rope, and we see that she'd heard that Jesus was coming through, and we see that there was faith, that somehow she got a hold of faith, and she seen him at a distance, and yet there was a great crowd, but as she pressed through, she said, if I could just touch him, if I could just get close enough to touch him, I know I'll be made whole. She didn't have anybody tell her that. In her heart, she just said, there he is. He's the one that's going to meet my need. Faith rose up, and she got through the crowd. With the last measure of strength, she reached down, and all she had to do was glance his garment, and she was made whole. Jesus himself was amazed at this one. The centurion came to Jesus, his servant sick, and he asked him, would he heal his servant? Jesus stops what he's doing and says, I'll follow. No, master. See, I'm a man under authority. I know how these things work. In paraphrasing, he says, I know you have power. Just like I have power, I can tell this man to go. I can tell this to come. Whatever I say, I don't have to do anything but give the word, and it happens. God, I know you, Lord. I know you have authority, that you don't have to physically leave this spot, that if your voice says something, it's going to happen. Just like that. Jesus was amazed that he had that much faith. And I look at my life and I say, Lord, why can't I have that type of faith to realize who I'm dealing with? That God has all authority. How much power does he have? Verse 3 describes how powerful God is. For it says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What is that saying? It's saying that God, when he created the heavens and the earth and the trees and the mountains and the galaxies and the universes and everything that you see, all he had to do was speak. All he had to do was let words come through his mouth. And we ask God, can you do anything for me? And God says, can you see the farthest galaxies? Can you see the stars that you can't even count? Do you see that mountain and how great it is? Do you see the depths of that ocean? Do you see this universe that's put together so perfectly that one little alteration would cause everything to just explode? Do you think that if my voice can just speak and everything come into existence, that your need, I can't just speak and it be met? And when he created these things, it says at the end of that verse, it wasn't, he took up, like he did man, he took up dirt and he formed it into the form of a man and he breathed into us. But when he created the universe, it says that he created it out of nothing. God took nothing and made everything. He can take everything. And he can take anything in your life you have need of. You don't have to know how he can do it. There doesn't have to be a plan that you give God. You don't have to give him, God, if you do these four steps, all you got to do is say, God, will you do it? And God says, all I got to do is speak it. All I got to do, you have a need, I speak it and it happens. You need healed, that body I formed, I can speak it and that's going to be made whole. If you have a need in your life, if you want to see God move in this and heal bodies, we just got to pray and believe. And God says, I will do the mighty miracles. Just like the early church. It's not, let me tell you something. The only limitation of the church is we quit believing. We quit trusting God that he can do anything. And God is saying again, trust me. Put your confidence in me. Let me show you how mighty I am. Sometimes we lose confidence in God. We pray and we pray. And I'm about to finish. We pray over things and we get discouraged and we don't see what God's already doing. Sometimes we don't know that God's already met the need. There was a lady, her name's Ruby Hamilton. And Ruby Hamilton was the owner of a large business in Chicago back after World War II. And she had gotten saved. She now was in her 50s, and she had gotten saved in her late 20s, and she was on fire for the Lord. But her husband didn't share her faith in Christ. She didn't get discouraged. She just kept trusting God. She kept praying for him. She finally got into a period where she was just fasting and praying and calling on God, and she was just wailing before God until there came this moment when she felt the Spirit lift that. And she knew in her heart, God heard my prayer. God's going to save my husband. She was so excited. She knew God was going to meet her need. But something tragic happened, and it just shook her world up to where her faith in God was so challenged. Her husband was killed in a car wreck, and she had no even hope that he had accepted the Lord as a Savior. She was killed. She, in her heart, felt like, God, you failed me. So sometimes we are we question God. What have you done? There was a young man. That's not the end of the story, as Paul Harvey says. There was a young man that on May 5th, 5 years before, or May 7th, had been discharged from the army. He was hitchhiking on the way home. And he had his big heavy suitcase. He still had his uniform on. He could not wait to get home and get this uniform off. He was hitchhiking, trying to get back. He lived outside of Chicago. And he was waiting on cars. And the next one, he had his thumb out. And the next car come was a brand new, shiny Cadillac. He put his thumb down. He said, that guy ain't going to pick me up. Car stopped and pulled off. He was so excited because he'd been walking forever. So he gets the car, he opens the back, throws his suitcase in the back, gets in. The man introduced himself and says, my name's Mr. Hamilton. He said, are you going home for good? And he said, I hope so. And they had this big conversation, and he asked him where he was going. He says, if I'm going to Chicago, do you need to go that far? He says, no, not quite that far. They got in a big conversation, found out that Mr. Hamilton owned a business in Chicago, and they were just having regular conversation. Well, this young man was a Christian. And he knew, he in his heart, he wanted to tell this man about the Lord. And he just kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And he said, finally, he realized he's only about 30 minutes from where he lived. It was now or never. So he stopped what they were talking about. And he says, Mr. Hamilton, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. He said, I'm a Christian, and I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. And he gave him the plan of salvation, how the Lord wanted to save him and to turn his life around. He said, all of a sudden, the car pulled off the side of the road. Kind of abruptly. He thought, well, this is it. He's throwing me out on the side of the road. He said, but when he looked over, he said, this man that was driving this car in his big business suit in his 50s, tears was flowing down his face. And he said, I want to know the Lord. And he got his arms up on his steering column. He accepted the Lord as a Savior. He let the man out of his home, and he drove off. 5 years later, this young man started his own business, had a family, had a few kids, and he run across a little business card that man had gave him, and he was going to Chicago, and he thought, I'm going to look him up. And he goes, and he finds Hamilton Enterprises in Chicago, Illinois, and he comes to this big building, big, beautiful building, and he was so impressed with it, and he come into the receptions. He said, yes, here, I'm here to see Mr. Hamilton. The receptionist says, well, that's impossible, sir, but you can see Mrs. Hamilton. So they ushered him into the office, and she came and said, you knew my husband? He said, yes, I did. She said, how did you know him? He said, when I got out of the Army, he gave me this ride. Do you know what date that was? May 7th. She was taken back. She said, was anything particular that day happen? And he didn't know what the circumstances was, and he said, he was a little sheepish. He didn't know whether to tell her. He says, well, ma'am, I'll tell you what happened. He said, your husband, I talked to him and witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, ma'am, your husband pulled off to the side of the road, and with tears flowing down his face, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I've always wanted to feel this way. He gave the testimony of what the husband had said back to him. Tears started flowing down her face. He says, why, ma'am? What's happened? She says, my husband was killed that same day. He never even made it home. He never even made it home, and I give up on God because I thought he had let me down. Let me tell you something. I don't care. When God hears you pray and when you get a hold of God, you can take it to the bank. He will never let you down. He will never turn his back on you. I don't care what it is. There isn't one problem. You right now think of the biggest problem you're facing. You think of the hardest thing that you can't even see, even a chance that you don't see how God could ever do it. And I'm telling you right now, it's easy for him. God looks at that and it is so easy for him to meet that need. He says, just give it to me. Just trust me and see what I will do. I'm finishing right here. Paul goes through the list of all the faithfulness and all the things that God had done. But let me summarize how he finished this chapter. He summarizes it by saying, how could I tell you more? Let me tell you, he summarizes and says in verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheep's skins and goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And then he says this, of whom the world was not worthy. Men and women of God who tested and let God have full control in their life and said, I don't have to see how you're going to do it. I trust you. And it says he delivered. And those, even though they were going through hard trials and they were going through torment and they were going to be executed for their faith in Jesus Christ, said that they would not accept deliverance. I don't want to get set free because what I know where I'm going is going to be greater than anything I'm going to have here. And the faithfulness of these people, the scripture says, for those people who this world were not even worthy of. When he looks at me, I'm afraid he says just the opposite. You're unworthy because you don't trust me. These people never even seen Jesus Christ. They never even seen him. They knew he was coming. They knew he was going to, but they never got to see him with their eyes. And they held faith in him. Something they never got to see. And we know he's already came. And we know he's getting ready to come back again. And he's sitting there just waiting to meet our needs if we'll just ask. And yet we have so little faith. And he says, just try me. Just test me. Brother, if you come to the piano, God is looking for us, not someone else, not someone other than you. God is looking for someone to put faith in him. It doesn't stop when we get saved. That's not where faith stops. That's just the beginning. For every time, listen, does it not build your faith when you hear Sandy testify of what God does for her? Does it not build your faith when one person after another gets up and says, I gave God this need, and he not only met the need, he went way beyond that. God is so awesome. And what we do is we look at him and we put upon him our frailties. We put upon him our littleness. We put upon him our weakness. And God says, your whole earth is but my footstool. You can't even imagine the greatness of me. Trust me. Let's stand. Lord, God, speak. God, start in my heart that, Lord, from this day for the rest of my life, God, that I see you in the greatness of who you are. Lord, a God who can speak with his words and universes appear. God, we are so grateful and so mighty that we have you as our God. That, Lord, before we even ask, you've already sent the need. You've already met it. Teach us to ask. Teach us to believe. God, give us such a tenacity in our spirit that we reach out in faith and touch you. God, that at the end of our lives, oh, that we can have a testimony of they believed God. Let that be our testimony.